Bible. If you want to put your finger there, and I'm going to call, you probably know these verses by now, but I do not want to pass over this because I wanted to stick around long enough. It's kind of like eating the big dinner, you know. You want to stick around a while. You got to spend a lot of money on it. You don't want something's going to, nobody want to be hungry in 2 hours, huh? But now I wanted to stick around on your heart here. Stick around. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, but let's look real quickly, if you will. In chapter 16, verse 9, we found the principle that God was trying to teach us through this series of chapters, through the life of Asa and his son Jehoshaphat, which we have spent most of our time talking about, jumping Jehoshaphat here. But in 2 Chronicles chapter 16, we see the principle. First of all, we have the promise. Look at verse 9. Look at verse 9, chapter 16, verse 9 says, "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him." Now listen, he says, that's the promise. He wants to show himself strong on our behalf. He's looking to and fro. Do you hear me now? He's listening. He's watching. He's looking to show himself strong. He's trying to find somebody who is. You say, well, he's going to miss me. No, he won't miss you. The eyes of the Lord will see you if that's what you're doing. That's the promise. Then it says the principle, the prerequisite of that is whose heart is perfect toward him. Whose heart is perfect toward him. Now, wait a minute. That means we're seeking him. We're zeroed in on him. Now, listen. There are folks who, and I've heard this for years. I've heard it recently. I don't think the Lord's listening to me. I don't think the Lord is listening to me. Now, hang on. Maybe we should be listening to him. I'm not trying to be mean. But I found that most times when people say, the Lord's not listening to me, it's somebody who's walked away from him. So, well, it was bad before that. He wasn't listening. Now, wait a minute. Seek him. Hang on to him. Hang on. Unless you bless me. What you're saying is this principle in the Bible is not true. I'm not trying to be mean. Honest, I'm not. I'm trying to help you. What we're saying is this is a promise you need to hang on to with every ounce of your heart. That he looks to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is perfect toward him. Then we found out a heart that Jehoshaphat, Asa, his daddy had a little issue with that, but Jehoshaphat says, I'm going to seek him with all his heart. So we have chapter 17. Chapter 17, it says, verse 3, and it says, the Lord was with Jehoshaphat. Why? Because he walked in the ways of his father David and sought not unto Balaam, but sought to the Lord God of his father, walked in his commandments, that means he's listening to him, and not after the doings of Israel. So what's the promise here? Therefore the Lord established the kingdom in his hand, and all Judah brought to Jehoshaphat presents, and he had riches and honor in abundance. Look at verse 9. And they taught in Judah, and they had the book of the law of the Lord with them. That means he sought him. We're going to listen to the word of God. Jehoshaphat started out well, and God blessed him. God provided for him. God protected. God promoted. God took care of him. There are precious promises, but there is a prerequisite of a perfect heart. That's a heart that zero in on God. That's where I'm going. He's got God in the crosshair, so to speak, in a good way. I want to know what he wants. That heart that is zeroed in on God, God says he's going to take. Listen, if we're zeroed in on God, God's more important to us than possessions. God's more important to us than position. God's more important to us than other people or personalities. If we're zeroed in on God, God and what he wants, what he's trying to do, is more important than anything else. Then we came to a heart that forgotten God. In chapter 18, we saw in verse 1, Jehoshaphat had riches and honor and abundance and joined affinity with Ahab. Why they have those two together? Because they're connected. Ahab was the wicked king in the north. He had said, I'm not going up there. I don't want them down here. If you go back to chapter 17. And all of a sudden now he has everything he needs. He lets his guard down. Everything's eased. And he starts getting in cahoots with the wrong crowd. And it takes him down. Now, I want to say this to you, too. We're going to get to our scripture here in a second. I want to say this, too. Jehoshaphat got out in the middle of that battle. If you were here, you know about it. And he cried out to the Lord, oh my, what in the world am I doing here? Lord, save me. And he did. Jehoshaphat still had his possessions. Jehoshaphat still had his position. He was still even protected. He had been promoted. He still had those things, but the fact is his heart was not after God. You can have all those things and your heart not be after God. He was kind of living on the momentum of when his heart was after God. But on the other hand, there's going to be some issues. There's going to be some problems. So we saw in chapter 19 that the man of God came to him and kind of rebuked him. And you're going to see that God blessed again. In chapter 19, verse 1, Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, returned to his house in peace. And they have Hanani the seer went out to meet him. And he says, shouldst thou help the ungodly and love them that hate the Lord? Therefore is the wrath, or the splinters, the problems, the snags of life upon thee from the Lord. Now he still has possessions, still has his possessions. He's still going to have his position. He's still being protected. But the fact is, he's got a lot of snags. Now we had a heart here that was rebuked by God. When he was rebuked by God, he returned to God. So he had a heart that returned to God. In chapter 19, verse 4, and Jehoshaphat dwelt in Jerusalem, and he went out again through the people, and he brought them back unto the Lord God of their fathers. And you know what happened? God honored him all over again. Do you know why? Because the Lord God is looking to and fro over all the earth, seeking whom he may show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is perfect toward him. Well, said his heart, he messed up. No, but you see, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we cover our sins, we shall not prosper. But he that confesseth and forsaketh shall have mercy. Jehoshaphat got mercy. He should have been a dead man, but God intervened and God allowed him to save his neck. And sure enough, Jehoshaphat came back to him. Jehoshaphat is doing right again in his heart, and his heart is perfect toward God. Zeroed in, back on God. Jehoshaphat's meeting the prerequisite to claim the promises of God again. And Jehoshaphat knows that the eyes of God are running to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is perfect toward him. And when we know God is working on our behalf, we have nothing to fear. When we know God is working on our behalf, we have nothing to fear. So because Jehoshaphat had a heart that repented, a heart that returned, he has now a heart, watch me, that can once again rest in God. Well, I've wondered maybe you have. We come back, we can rest again in God. Let's pray, and we're going to work our way through about the first third of chapter 20. I'm not going to get all done this chapter, so we're going to hang on to part of this today. But let's pray. Father, we thank you for being a God of second chances. We thank you for being a God that loves us in spite of knowing who we are. Thank you for being one that keeps his promises. Thank you for being one that can indeed, has the ability, the power, the authority to keep all the promises. Lord, forgive us when we don't keep our eyes on you. Lord, forgive us when we blame you. Lord, forgive us when we see the situation around us and we think it's greater than you are. And Lord, we know not always things don't always turn out the way we want them to be. Lord, forgive us when we think you've made a mistake. Lord, I want our folks to rise up in the arms of faith, see you work. Lord, this is not a prosperity gospel. It's not going to mean we're always going to be rich, but it does mean, Lord, we're going to have the blessings, your blessings, when we seek you with all our heart. Now, Lord, I pray that you'll speak to us. We ask for your Holy Spirit to move. I don't want to say anything I shouldn't say, but, Lord, I want to say everything that needs to be said. And whatever I can't have time to say, Lord, we know that your Holy Spirit can move in hearts. So, Lord, we ask you to move. there may be things in our hearts, there may be people in our hearts who have some issues with these things. Maybe somebody that is here, maybe somebody that isn't here. But Lord, we pray that you'll work in a great way. We give you the service, we give you the message. Again, we'll give you the praise for the work you're going to do in Christ's name. Amen. I'm calling this message, Where Do You Go When You're Attacked? Where do you go when you're attacked? When somebody comes at you. Jehoshaphat, now watch me. Jehoshaphat did well. He sought the Lord. He sent him all over Judah to teach. And God blessed him. He promoted him. He provided. He protected. Got full of himself and went in the wrong direction. Got himself in some deep trouble. He cries out to God and God saves him. He comes back to God and God starts blessing. Look at chapter 20, verse 1. And it came to pass after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon, and with them other beside the Ammonites, came against Jehoshaphat to battle. First thing I want you to understand is great troubles come. Great troubles come. You say, well, Jehoshaphat just came back to God. Why is he having these troubles? These troubles have nothing. They have nothing to do with the fact that he kind of, quote unquote, backslid for a while, kind of eased off. He wasn't doing anything great. He had no great sin on there. He just kind of eased off and ran around the wrong crowd. But this has nothing to do with that. In fact, he got himself into trouble by getting into affinity with Ahab. He made some decisions he shouldn't have. He ended up putting himself in a bad position, and God in his mercy spared his life. But this time, he's minding his own business. He's not doing anything wrong. He was trying to follow God, and problems came. Look at verse 2. Then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, There cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea on this side of Syria. And behold, they be of Hazazontamar. There we go, which is in Gedi. Now, he says, he gets news. Trouble's coming. It's brewing. It's going to be a big one. Well, where'd you go, God? That's one of the first things we think. Well, where'd he go? God hadn't gone anywhere. There was issues. We had a problem. But I want you, listen, hold your place there. If you're quick, you can turn to Psalm 34. I want to show you something. Hold your place in 2 Chronicles. Psalm 34, verse 14. This almost looks like a biography of Jehoshaphat. Psalm 34, verse 14, right in the middle of the Bible there. It says this, Depart from evil and do good, seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous and his ears are open unto their cry. Well, that's what we've been saying all along, right? Okay, verse 16. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. Okay, verse 17. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of their troubles. Boy, is that right? Jehoshaphat was out there in the middle of the battle. He cried out, and God saved him. Okay, watch this. Verse 18. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. So if you're humble before God, know you need him. God will spare you. God's with you. Look at verse 19. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. Oh, my soul, I'm doing right. God's supposed to hear my prayer. There's not supposed to be any problems. No. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. Just because we're saved, people think, okay, I'm going to be happy when I get saved because then I won't have any problems. I'll be happy because I have no problems. I have no problems because I'm saved. You just fall off the watermelon wagon. It doesn't work that way. It does not work that way. I don't care who you are. You say, well, why me? Why not you? Why not me? Why? Why is this little Hope Westrick, he's 14 years old. She's been given 3 months to live because of cancer. We've been praying for her and praying for her. And she was fighting, she was fighting. And they got a tumor, they can't get it all, and they're just afraid this is it. Now, maybe it is, maybe it isn't. I don't know what God wants to do. And what do we say? Why? 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 Now, maybe God will do something, maybe, but the fact is, He is doing something. I don't know what He's doing, but He's doing something. You've heard about the missionaries who went down there years and years ago, Nate Saint and Elliot and all those, you know. Listen, they went down there and they were some of the brightest men on campus, and before long they went down there and they already got it started. Right on the beach, they're killed by the headhunters. So why? How many people? Listen, there's hundreds, probably thousands of missionaries on the field because they were inspired by the faith that those men had. Why was Stephen the first martyr? He seemed like a really nice guy. He even said, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing." He said, "I see the Son of God standing beside the right hand of the Father." He was such a great guy that when he was dying, Jesus, who sits at the right hand of the Father, actually stood up and said, "Come on home, Stephen." Was he a failure? No, he wasn't a failure. Listen, we've been reading about him for centuries and centuries because of the passion and the faith that he had. We don't know. Problems come. Verse 19 says, "Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all." That may be on this side of glory, it may be on that side of glory. See, we tend to think of this as this life, and then there's this other life. And so if it doesn't work in this life, we must have failed this life. No! This life does not end. To be absent from the body is present with the Lord. We just slide right on into eternity. Over there where there is no tears, is no problems, there is no night, for He's the light. We're not going to sit on a cloud and play harps forever. Man, I could do that for, you know, a few years, but my soul, what are we going to do? This? You know, my fingers are starting to get sore. No. More to life than that. We're going to be in presence of the Holy One. But not only that, he's got plans. He's got things squared out. We're living in our little finite mind. Let me read this to you. Titus 3:10, this is Paul speaking. He says, "But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. What persecution I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." Now he's saying if we live godly, we're going to get extra persecution just for... So listen, things come. Great troubles come. But number two, we got to seek God first. When the troubles come, we must seek God first. Now Jehoshaphat, we're going to see here in a moment, that's what he did. His daddy Asa didn't do that. You go back in chapter 16, when he got older, he got sick, and he kind of came to God at last minute, last ditch effort. He goes to all the doctors and fix me. You know why? He didn't have a rest in Jesus. He didn't have a rest in God's presence because he had walked away from God's presence. His heart was not after him anymore. You know, we kind of go along and do our little thing, and life is just fine as long as we don't have any problems. And then all of a sudden some problems happen, which happen to everybody. And then all of a sudden God's mad at me. God's forgotten me. No, the fact is we forgot him a while back. Well, I went to church. I didn't say that. I've been serving in the ministry. I didn't say that. We've been doing our own little thing, and we have forgotten him. Jehoshaphat this time said, "You know what? I'm going to write to him." Look at verse 3. Now they got word. There's a big bunch coming. There's a storm brewing over the hill. It's coming with a force. We're going to be attacked by all these people. Verse 3, and Jehoshaphat, back in 2 Chronicles 20. 2 Chronicles 20, verse 3. And Jehoshaphat feared. Now, by the way, before you rebuke him for fearing, you would too. You would too. It's not about not having issues. It's not about saying, oh, my soul, there's a big storm brewing. It's not that. It's what you do when you fear. Where do you go? Where do you go? Where? Back to the Lord. That's right. Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord. Oh, my soul, we got problems. You know what we got to do? We got to go find God. We gotta see what the Lord wants to do with this. The first thing he did wasn't going out and get a garrison of men and put up a big wall. That wasn't what he did first. First thing he said, they're right on the horizon. Okay, here's what we gotta do first. Bow your head, let's pray. Because that's what a heart does that seeks. That's perfect toward him that seeks after him. He said, Jehoshaphat feared, set himself to seek the Lord, and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. Now, wait a minute. What's that mean, all of Judah? I mean, they're not going to eat. So he says, okay, we've got a battle coming. The first thing we're going to do is take all the rations away from the army. First thing we're going to do is make sure we put the flesh aside and seek the Lord. Because unless the Lord bless us, we're all dead men. He proclaimed a fast throughout all of Judah. And Judah gathered themselves together, verse 4, to ask the help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. They relied wholly on the strength of God, who shows himself strong on their behalf, whose heart is perfect toward him. They said, there's a promise. God will show himself strong. But if I want the promise, I've got to practice the prerequisite. I've got to seek him. What we do, we go about figuring out all the little things. Okay, God, don't forget with me over here. I'm kind of busy right now, but just. And then we're wondering why we're not seeing God showing himself strong on our behalf. Asa, Jehoshaphat's father, had lost the Lord's blessing because he sought the help of man before the help of God. His heart was not perfect toward God. And if his heart had been perfect toward God, he would have known that God has everything he needs. God may use men to do the work. But either way, that is up to God to decide. God may ask you to go to the very person you thought of. But the first thing you do is need to go to God and let him make the decisions. Get in the book. Listen, we said, well, I asked him to make my decision, but nothing came to me. Did you read the book? Well, I don't have time to read the book. Well, that's what we're doing this morning. Because, you see, he didn't know the battle was going to come over the hill here. But he had turned himself around and he was seeking the Lord again. So when the battle came, his first response was, give it to God. Because it shows himself strong in behalf of those whose heart is perfect toward him. Let me give you a couple principles underneath this. Faith is believing that God is who he says he is. Faith is believing that God is who he says he is. For without faith it is impossible to please him. But he that cometh to him must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them who diligently seek him. He's a rewarder of those who sometimes seek him. He's a rewarder of them who seek him if they have enough time. He's a rewarder of those who seek him when all else fails. No, he's a rewarder of them who diligently seek him. That's somebody who seeks him when they're in the good times. That's somebody who seeks him when they have some extra time and they don't know what to do with it, they seek in him. That's the person who seeks him when they have no time in their schedule and they got to make time. You know, sometimes we get a little lazy in our spiritual walk and wonder why God's not working. Psalm 118 says this. You can grab it. I'm going to do it. You can mark it down. You can read it later. Psalm 118 verse 4 says, "Let them now that fear the Lord say that his mercy endureth forever." How do they know that? It says, "I called upon the Lord in distress. The Lord answered me and set me in a large place. And the Lord is on my side. I will not fear what man, what can, I will not fear what can man do unto me. The Lord taketh my part with him that helpeth me. Therefore shall I see my desire upon them that hate me. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes." Not just any man. Well, he's the boss. That's a different story. Listen, we're talking about going to the boss of all the bosses. Faith, what? Faith is believing that God will do what he has promised to do. Is he who he says he is? Faith is taking God's word on it and acting upon it. Well, I believe. Well, will you go out and do it? Faith is action. You've heard me say it. Action based on a promise or a command of God. Faith is action based on a promise or command of God. With faith without works is dead. We say we believe in it, yet we give it to him and we carry all the load on ourselves. Let me give one more. Prayer is acting upon our faith. True prayer is action taken because of our utter dependence upon God. He says, listen, we've got a battle on the horizon. They're coming. It's a bunch of them. We're dead manning. You know what we got to do? Stop everything you're doing. You don't even have time for lunch and dinner today. Let's get a hold of God. Because he shows himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is perfect toward him. I've heard that verse before. I want it burned into your heart. God looks to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on the behalf of him whose heart is perfect toward him. Sometimes we think if we're praying, then we're not doing anything. Praying is doing. It is taking the need to the one that can do something about it. People agonize in prayer. He said, "Can you not watch and pray with me 1 hour?" He says to the disciples. What does that mean? I'm going to keep an eye on it by making sure I keep praying. Because I'm praying because I have utter dependence upon him. Because I know that he shows himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is perfect toward him. You follow what I'm saying here? Grab a hold of it. Get a hold of the horns of the altar. I'm not going to let go because I know he shows himself strong. The response may be, after we pray, that he wants us to do something. It may be. That something may seem silly. It may seem stupid. But if it is what God wants us to do, then to not do it is to not trust God. Prayer is taking a need to the general and waiting for instructions. There's an army coming over the hill. Sir, yes, sir. There's an army coming over the hill. What shall we do, sir? And then you take his instructions. The instructions may be to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Number three, Jehoshaphat exercises faith in public. Jehoshaphat's going to exercise his faith in public. Verse 5, Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah in Jerusalem, 2 Chronicles 20, verse 5. in the house of the Lord before the new court. One clear indicator of our faith is if we're willing to exercise it before others. A clear indicator of our faith, one of them, is our... Now, I know we're supposed to pray in our closet and God will reward openly. I understand, I'm not saying that. That's fine. But when God tells you what to do you go ahead and do it?
I'm not going to do that. That's really stupid. Everybody's going to think I'm crazy.
Everybody thought I was... Well, I shouldn't say everybody. A lot of folks in Maryland thought I was crazy when I came up here to this church because they couldn't afford to pay us. I'm just saying, it had nothing to do with me. I'm not spiritual because I came up here. I sought the Lord with all my heart. I honestly did. Studied the Word, spent time, and I don't know, somehow it pressed upon my heart. This is where you're supposed to be. That's all. I'm not a great man. I'm not nothing. I'm just a guy who's crazy enough to believe God. That's all. That's all. I've told many of you in here, I have no business being the pastor of this church. But God can pastor the church. And I'm willing to let Him do it through me. That's all. That's all. Romans 10:10 says this. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Here, watch this. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed. The quality of your faith in God can be somewhat measured by your willingness to profess Him before men. Do you tell folks you've trusted Christ as your Savior? Do you tell folks that you've trusted Christ? When it comes up, when there's an issue, are you willing to say, well, I remember days like this. You know what you probably need? Same thing the rest of us need. You need to go ahead and trust Jesus as your Savior. You just need to go ahead and get this settled. Well, they're going to think I'm crazy. Well, they thought Jesus was crazy. You're in good company. They thought disciples were crazy. Matthew 10:32 says this, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. Go down to verse 37 of Matthew 10. It says, he that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. He that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. You know what that means? I need a heart that's perfect toward God. Listen, a heart that's perfect toward God is not going to neglect their family. That's not what he's saying. But when I'm saying, I've got to take care of them, but don't have time for you right now, I got to take care of some things around here. What we're saying is, you can do it without him. What you're saying is, you don't need him to show himself strong on your behalf. You're good just the way you are. We think we're being neglectful to our family and our marriage and to this or that, when in reality, God will show himself strong. Go back and read 2 Chronicles 17, what God did when Jehoshaphat sought him first. All right, I want to finish. Number four, Jehoshaphat took the crisis out of his own hand and he put it into God's hands. Now, I've kind of given these principles so I can go fast. Jehoshaphat took the crisis out of his hand and put it into God's hands. Not mine anymore. It's yours. Now, how you do that? Look at verse 6. He said, O Lord, God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven? And rulest not thou over all the kingdom of the heathen? And in thine hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? Underneath this, here it is. Remember who God is. God said, it's remember who God is. He says, wait a minute, God. Aren't you everybody's bosses? Aren't you the boss of everybody? Aren't you in charge of the entire universe? Aren't you over all of this? Don't you have the heart? Listen, you're not only king over Israel, but you're actually king and authority over all these heathen nations as well. These ones that are trying to attack us, you could stop them just like that. Remember who God is. Verse 7. Art not thou our God, who didst drive out the inhabitants of his land before thy people Israel and gave us to the seed of Abraham, thy friend forever? And they dwelt therein, have built thee a sanctuary therein for thy name's sake, for thy name, saying, now we'll get to that. So remember who God is. Watch this. Remember what God can do. Remember what God can do. He says, you're the one that brought us here in the first place. God has you alive for a reason. God gave you what you have right now for a reason. But also remember Job said, God giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. It's kind of like the old secular saying, it's better to love and lost than to have never loved at all. Well, if we enjoy the blessings of God and then we lose them, it's better than to have never had the blessings in the first place. Watch this. It's better to have been born, die early, and get to go to heaven than to have never been born at all. A, remember who God is. B, remember what God can do. C, remember his promises. Verse 9. If when evil cometh upon us, wait a minute, verse 8 says, and they dwelt therein, have built thee a sanctuary therein for thy name, saying, if when evil cometh upon us as a sword, like we are right now, Lord, judgment or pestilence or famine, like I had a while back, we stand before this house and in thy presence, and for thy name is in this house, and cry thee in our affliction, then thou wilt hear and help. Letter D. Remember who God is. Remember what God can do. Remember his promises. And here it is. Apply your faith to the current situation. This is simple, but we don't do it. Apply what you've just learned to your current situation. Look at verse 10. He says, and now, I says, Lord, we know who you are and you're in charge of everybody. And we know what you can do. And we know that you have promises. We've remembered your promises. And we're grateful for the promises. So, verse 10. So, behold, the children, says, just so you know, God, the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom thou wouldst not let Israel invade. I mean, you wouldn't let us go over there and get rid of them. Just so you know. They came out, when they came out of Egypt, but they turned from them and destroyed them not. Behold, I say, how they reward us. This is how we get thanked. They're coming to attack us, to come to cast us out of thy possession, which thou hast given to us to inherit. He says, Lord, there it is. I know what you can do. I know who you are. I know what you have done. So here I am again. And here's my need. Letter E, confess God's authority and our inability. In other words, pray about it. Confess God's authority and confess our inability. There are some things in your life right now that you cannot control. You wish you could push a button and fix it, and you can't. All you can do is take it to him. And we get mad at God because he's not doing anything. Now, he may or he may not. He may say to Paul, just like he said to Paul, my grace is sufficient. I got something special I'm going to use this for. I know you don't understand. But you're going to get more blessing out of the situation if you allow him to do it. Or we can bow up our back and say, it's not fair, God. It's not fair. Now, wherever you are, God will do with you just like it did with Jehoshaphat. we turn around and start seeking Him with our heart again, we'll start seeing His blessing. Now, you do need to remember this. Remember the prophet says, His wrath is still upon thee. He says the splinters, the snags in life are still there. It could be that during that time where I had slacked off, and the longer I've slacked, the more chances of this to happen. But during that time when I slacked off and I eased up, I caused some splinters. Now, God may or may not get rid of all those splinters in your life. But I'd rather have some splinters in my life and be living over here in His blessing, even with the splinters in my life, than to be making more splinters in my life because I'm not seeking Him. You follow what I'm saying? This not make it worse. Well, I don't like what I have here. Well, I don't know why it's there. You may never know. But listen, I don't want to make it worse by walking away from Him. I don't want to make it worse by easing up in my walk with Him. Because I know He shows Himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is after Him. Verse 12, he says, O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might. We have no might. We have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. Just tell us. Tell us. Jehoshaphat committed the problem to God and he waited for God to work. He didn't commit to God and go do his own thing. He could, and by the way, he could trust that God would show Himself strong on his behalf because his heart had been zeroed back in on God. It wasn't perfect. It was he wanted Him with all his heart, not that God had all his heart yet. Do you believe? One last thing. Look at verse 13. And all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children. You don't have Juliet with you, do you? Grab her real quick. You got to get this. You got to get this. Grab her real quick. She's usually sitting in here. Listen, look. They're standing before God. The king is praying in front of the congregation of all of Judah and Jerusalem. And he says, we have a big battle. He says, the Moabites and the Ammonites and all these guys from Seir, they're coming at us and we don't know what to do. And we do not have the power to do what needs to be done because they're bigger than we are. She's probably getting her diaper changed right about now, isn't she? All right, now, so they stand with all their children. I'm not going to feed you. You got the wrong one. With all their children and their little ones, right? And said, there's an army. It's in Gettysburg and it's headed here. And we don't know what we're going to do. This is our family. This is our family. You want that thing? Doesn't have anything in it. You don't want it either, do you? No. You're going to smile at me instead. Now watch me. We're going to stand and say, God, you're going to have to help me. You know whose life I just put on the line? My kids, we're making a decision that's life and death. And we're saying, I'd rather trust God than the arm of man. We can talk big. But when you lay something like this on the line, it's a whole different ballgame. Who are we trusting? Us? All four of our kids, when they were born, before we got out of the delivery room. I'm sorry. This is what we did. Lord, they belong to you. And I'm going to do everything I can to raise them in your understanding, your wisdom. And I'm going to make decisions according to what you want me to do, because I know that's what's best for them. And you didn't get your nap. Now listen, that's what it says in verse 13. Can you imagine? They stood before God with their little ones. We don't know what to do, God. We don't have the power to defeat these people. We have no idea what we're going to do. And there they're standing hand in hand with their wives, their kids, their grandkids. Let me ask you this. I'm done. Are God's thoughts better for your children or your thoughts? You know, it's one thing to gamble things that are not important to you. It's another thing to trust God with the valuables in your life. Are God's ways better for your children, or are your ways better for your children? Is it better for the lives of your children to be left in God's hands, or is it better for the lives of your children to be in your hands? If a heart's after God, he says, I'm going to take him no matter what. I plead the mercy of God. And either he will take care of the need, or he'll give you grace through the need. He will either take care of the need, or he'll give you grace through the need. We're going to leave you hanging here. You know what? That's how it feels sometimes when you get stuck in a place like this. It seems like it takes forever. It looks like there is no hope. There's no light at the end of the tunnel. It seems like an eternity until the answer comes. But that doesn't change the process. See, God has a promise. And we need to be fulfilling the prerequisite. For the Lord's eyes are upon all the earth, looking to and fro, to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is perfect toward him. Father, thank you for your word. Long again, but Lord, thank you for speaking to us here this morning. I want our folks to rise up in the arms of faith. Lord, give us your wisdom. Speak to hearts. Comfort. May they see your graciousness. May they see your promises. May they see who you are, what you can do. May they be willing to simply place their lives into your hands, looking up to you. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed.